So first of all, I would like to thank Tony Tercela and Bruno Gauthier for organizing this event. And so I'm going to talk about, as Bruno said, the epistemic norm of assertion. So I will defend a very unpopular claim, I would say, the claim that a certainty is the epistemic norm of assertion. So I will try to convince you that it's not that implausible, actually. So maybe I will convince you also that actually it's the best account, so that's my aim, and at least also that it's better than the knowledge account, okay? So that's a modest aim. And so let me start just by saying a few words about what assertions are. So assertions are speech acts. So just so there is a lot of philosophical discussion about what these speech acts are and how we can distinguish them from other speech acts, but basically just two examples. So for example, it is raining is an assertion, or the car is red is an assertion. So basically we use the indicative mood to make assertions, and so I won't say more about this. So, but what has been recently really debated is the idea that these assertions are governed by an epistemic norm. So this idea is already present in the Gricean view, with the idea of the second submaxim of quality, which say that you should not believe that for which you lack adequate evidence. So the idea intuitively is that you should not assert things like this, okay? And so this is intuitive enough that in order to be to assert properly something, say P or for it is raining, you should have at least some evidence that P is the case. Okay, so so there are many different ways of formulating this norm, but we can use this the following formulation. So S out assert that P only if S satisfies N, and the condition, the epistemic condition, with respect to P. So here the out is epistemic, so there might be reasons to assert saying you don't have enough evidence for, if for example it's very polite or things like this. So here we focus on the epistemic aspect of the appropriateness of the assertion. Okay, and so several candidates have been proposed. So one is a rational credibility norm defended by Duven. Another view is that you should assert that for which you have a sufficient warrant, so defended by Gherkin. A popular view is that knowledge is the norm of assertion. So, for example, Williamson defends this view. Other defend the truth norm or even a belief norm. So you should assert only what you believe. So my claim is today that I would like to defend is that certainty is the epistemic norm of assertion. So this view is suggested by Stanley, but it looks like Stanley abandoned it. Okay, so maybe I'm the only one who defends this view now. And also it's worth noting that Moore, on his article Uncertainty, also says that when you assert something, actually you represent yourself as certain that it is the case. So I'm in a kind of Morian here. Okay, so my plan will be the following. So first, I will present the account, okay? So I will try to show why I don't think it's that implausible. Although it might seem at first sight implausible, I will try to show that it is not, actually. And then I will turn to two kind of arguments that can be proposed. So one kind of argument has to do with linguistic data or conversational data. So basically my strategy will be to take the data that have been proposed in favor of the knowledge norm, and I will show that if we take this data seriously, we can actually defend a certainty norm. So that's why I think that if you like the knowledge norm, you should prefer the certainty norm, actually. So, and the second argument will be a more principled argument, and it will put forth that actually the certainty norm is the only norm which is compatible with three independently plausible claims. So this argument is more general, I think, and show that the certainty norm is better than any other norm. Okay, so let's start by the basic account, so the certainty account of assertion. So basically, if you adopt the certainty norm for assertion, you say that S out assert that P, if and only if, or only if, P is epistemically certain for S. Okay, so what P is epistemically certain for S mean? It means that S is in a position to know that P, with the highest degree of justification for P. Okay, so P is epistemically certain for S only if S is in a position to know that P. Okay, certainty, epistemic certainty entails being in a position to know. Okay. So behind this idea, the idea that you can know that P with more or less justification. Okay, and so here are two examples that seems to show that this is not implausible to think that you can know that P with more or less justification. So take a testimonial case, for example. So we might think that Robert knows that it is raining in Paris because he remembers, so that's not a testimonial case, but remembrance case, because he remembers that Jones told him that it is raining in Paris, okay? So that presumably Robert can know that it is raining in Paris on this basis. So now compare with Mary, who knows that it is raining in Paris because she's in Paris under the rain, so she perceives the rain. So we might think that both of the subjects knows that it is raining, but Mary's knows with more justification than Robert that it is raining in Paris. Okay, so more formally, we could say that to have the highest degree of justification for P is the following. So J is the highest degree of justification for P if there is no degree of justification J star for P higher than J. Okay, so this is the idea of what being epistemically certain for S means. So the first problem that arises when we consider this epistemic norm is that it seems too strong. Okay, so an argument could be made. So following Junger, basically, or this kind of skeptical philosophers, we might think, okay, for almost all proposition P and justification J, there is a justification J star, such that P is better justified by J star than by G. Okay? So the idea, so consider, for example, the proposition that you have hence. Okay? You might think, okay, I'm justified by a perception that I have hands. So we might think, okay, but there is better the justification than that. Maybe someone can also tell me that I have hands. And you can add, okay, testimonies and things like this. So we might think, okay, so you are not certain that you have hands. Okay? So the idea is that to satisfy the certainty condition is very difficult. Or we might also think that there are other propositions, say Q, which are more justified than P, so P is not justified. So for example, take the proposition that that I have hands, okay? So this proposition is strongly justified, okay? Presumably you know that you have hands, but you might think, okay, but I exist is even more justified than the fact that I have hands. So if it is the case, then I have hands is not epistemically certain for me, okay? Because there is a higher justification. Okay, so if this is true, almost all propositions are uncertain, epistemically uncertain for us. And then the conclusion is what we may call skepticism about assertion. Okay, so this is basically the idea that almost all propositions are defective, epistemically speaking. Okay, so basically, if the argument would run like this, if epistemic certainty is the norm of assertion, then most of our assertions are defective, epistemically speaking. Okay. So when Stanley in his paper present a certainty account of a certainty norm of assertion, so he obviously see this point, and then he proposed to deal with this point by endorsing a context sensitive view of epistemic certainty. Okay. So the idea. So I think there are different ways we can try to flesh out this context sensitivity, but basically the idea is that what we mean by highest degree of justification, of what we mean by maximal justification, is context sensitive. Okay? So I flesh out the idea in the following way. To have the highest degree of justification and to have a justification sufficient to eliminate all the relevant doubts, where the doubts that count as relevant depend on the context. Okay, so for example, let's take two cases to see how certainty can be context sensitive in the way in which I try to say. So take the first case is a restaurant case. So John wants to go to the restaurant with Mary. He calls the restaurant to know whether it's open. A few times later, Mary asks John, is the restaurant open? John answers, yes, it is. Mary insists, is it certain? Then John says, yes, it is certain, I just called. So here, what John says seems true, okay? So it seems that by calling the restaurant, John is in a position to eliminate all the doubts, all the relevant doubts that are relevant given their practical situation, the purpose of their discussion, which is determined by the fact that they want to go to the restaurant tonight. Now, take a different example with a different context. Philosophy. So John is doing philosophy with Descartes. John pretends that he knows that he has hands. Descartes replies, this is not certain. You might well be deceived by an evil demon. Okay? Maybe your sensations do not indicate the presence of real hands or things like that. John agrees and he says, that's true, it's not certain that I have hands. Okay? So here, the idea is that what doubts are relevant is different. The doubts that are relevant is different. The possibility of error that you should consider given the context are different. There is a wider set of relevant possibilities. And so, given this context, it's false that it is certain for John that he has hands. Okay? So this basically I use here the strategy that DeRose used for knowledge. So when he says that knowledge is context sensitive, but I apply it to the notion of certainty. Okay? And so everything DeRose says about no, just say it about certain, that's the idea. And then you can that's my idea, you can avoid being contextualist about knowledge. Okay? That's basically the idea. So just to mention that there are other terms that we can think of are context sensitive in the same way as certain. So for example, empty, clean, flat. Some philosophers saying that. So there are two views. Either they say that there are maximum adjectives. So for example, if something is empty, nothing is more empty, but it's an absolute term. Okay, so they think that very few things are empty, actually, because you can always find a grain of dust, for example, in a fridge. So a fridge is not really empty. And other thing that empty is context sensitive. What it means to be empty for a fridge is not the same as to be empty for a vacuum chamber or something like this. So these words have different standards, okay, that apply depending on the context. So I think certainty, presumably, is of the same kind. Okay. So it's not surprising that certainty is context sensitive. In the way in which maybe it could be surprising that knowledge is context sensitive. Okay. Also, certainty is gradable. Knowledge is not gradable. So I think there are reasons to think that certain is context sensitive. Okay. Okay. So here we avoid the objection of the skeptic just by endorsing this contextualist view, and so that's why the view is not implausible. Okay. Now I will. Consider in the end two objections. We try to push the idea that actually this view leads to a kind of skepticism about certainty, but I will reply to these objections. Now, let me just present arguments in favor of this account. So as I said earlier, the main arguments, so first kind of argument appeal to linguistic data, okay? And so I would just repeat actually what we can find in the literature, and I would just show that if we take this argument seriously, they can be used to show that certain and is the epistemic norm of assertions. So first of all, there are philosophers who try to defend one or another epistemic norm of assertions, appeal to paradoxical sentences, so paradoxical Morian sentences, so sentences like P, but I do not believe that P. P, but I do not know that P. So in general, they just restrict to these two examples. And then they say, okay, but we can explain the oddity of asserting these sentences by saying that when you say P, you represent yourself as satisfying the norm of assertion for P. So if the norm of assertion is belief, for example, when you say in the second half of the assertion, I do not believe that P, you thereby represent yourself as not satisfying the epistemic norm of assertion, so you present yourself as having incoherent attitudes, in some sense. Okay. So the same argument is made with P, but I do not know that P, so which is the reason why defenders of the knowledge norm say that knowledge is a norm and not belief, because if merely believing were the norm, then we should not think that P, but I do not know that P, should be odd. But note, obviously, that the same oddity arises with P, but it is not certain that P, or P, but I am not certain that P. Okay? So the argument is, okay, the certainty norm can explain all the weaker claim. So P, but I do not believe that P, because if you take yourself, if you take P to be epistemically certain, obviously you should believe that P. If P is epistemically certain, then you are in a position to know that P. So if you believe that P, you are in a position to know that P, then you know that P. So the certainty norm being stronger than the other, it can explain all the data in the Morian data. Okay, so a second kind of data has to do with how we challenge assertions. So this is mainly developed by Williamson. So Williamson notes that we often say things like, "Oh, do you know that P?" When someone asserts that P, and you, for example, you doubt that he should have asserted that P, you said, "How do you know that P? How do you know that it's raining?" Or you say, "Do you know that it is raining?" But note that you could say, "Are you certain that it is raining?" Or, "Is it certain that it is raining?" So in the same way, you can challenge assertion by using "no." You can also challenge assertion by using "certain." And in the same way, you can explain by the certainty norm why we can use knowledge to challenge assertions, because you challenge the fact that the subject satisfies a necessary condition on epistemic certainty. But the defender of the knowledge norm has difficulties to explain why it seems appropriate to challenge assertions by using certain. Okay? Because if knowledge is a norm of assertion, you should not want an assertor to be certain of what he says, but merely of know what he says. Okay, so one worry that we might have at this point is the following. It seems that suppose someone says P, and then you challenge her assertion by saying, "Do you know that P?" And then suppose he says, "Yes, I know that P." So here you are. It seems okay. It seems that the assertor has responded to your challenge. So if certainty is the norm of assertion, you might think it's odd that a positive answer to this challenge is satisfying. Okay. So here the reply is to use the idea that knowledge is factive. Okay. So when you say, "I know that P," actually you represent yourself as epistemically certain that you know that P. Okay, so as knowledge is factive, you represent yourself as epistemically certain that P. Okay, so it's sufficient to be able. So when you assert, "I know that P," actually you represent yourself as certain that P. So you represent yourself as satisfying the certainty norm of assertion. Okay, so I think this worry can be put aside. Okay, so there is also a third argument, which is a kind of maybe, so which is proposed by Benton, which kind of combine the two first arguments, and which says that we should be able to explain how we challenge assertions and the paradoxical feature of Morian sentences in a unified way, because we can create context in which we challenge someone by pushing in into a paradoxical assertion. So for example, here is a phone dialogue. John, "It is raining." So John says, "It is raining." Mary said, "Do you know that it is raining?" John said, "No, I don't know that it is raining, but it is raining." Okay, so this is odd. Okay, so this, according to Benton, supports the knowledge account of assertions. But note that, as previously, you can run the same kind of a dialogue with, "Is it certain that it is raining?" So someone who says, "Johnny, it is raining. Are you certain that it is raining?" Or, "Is it certain that it is raining?" "No, it is not certain that it is raining, but it is raining." So this seems odd, too, at least to me. Okay, So norms weaker than certainty seems to be unable to explain why we can properly use certain, but the certainty norm can explain why weaker terms can be appropriate. Okay, this is the basic idea. So there is also a point that Benton considers in a paper, that we should look at the parenthetical uses of terms and how they affect actually our assertions. Okay, so Benton put forth two data. First, using the word "no" in parenthetical position is often redundant, and using "belief" edge the assertion. Okay, so for example, if I say "it is, I believe, raining," or "it is raining, I believe," so we weaken the assertion by using "I believe." Whereas if we say "It is, I know raining," which seems to have a kind of sense of redundancy here. The use of no also can have a reinforcing effect as a blow note. So, for example, take the case of Lazy. John is having a fight with his wife, Jill. Apparently, as Jill brings forward repeatedly during their heated conversation, John is very lazy, a point that Jill supports with ample evidence. At one point, exasperated, John asserts, I'm very lazy, I know. So, this reinforcing effect can be explained by the knowledge zone, of course, but the same effect can be produced with certain, I'm lazy for sure, or so. That's true, we more often use no than certain, I will come to this after, but the same reinforcing effect can be done. So here, a worry we might have is that if certainty is a norm of assertion, why is the use of no redundant or reinforcing? Since it's weaker than certainty, we might think, like belief, using no should edge the assertion, actually. But as I said earlier with no, we can use the factivity of knowledge. Again, when you say, I know that P, you do not weaken your assertion that P because knowledge is factive. So by saying, I know that P represents yourself as epistemically certain that P, that you know that P and by factivity as P, so your assertion is not weakened in this way. Okay, so this term can also explain the way in which we decline prompts to assert. Okay, so I do not know whether P, or you can say also I'm not sure. Okay, and so these basically are all the linguistic data that you can find in the literature, and so they do not clearly favor the knowledge norm over the certainty norm. So they are all compatible with the certainty norm, and some of them are at odds with the knowledge norm. So I would say in this respect, the certainty norm is better explain all this data. A second reason to think that the certainty norm is better than its the others, is that it seems that this is the only norm compatible with three independently plausible claims. So the three claims that I think are plausible are the following. First, the warrant necessary and sufficient for asserting P is context sensitive, or in other words, the epistemic norm of assertion is context sensitive. So this is a point that is often noted, that for example, in a trial, so when you have to give a verdict as to whether someone is guilty, so you have to maybe to have more evidence than if you are at the pub just discussing with someone else and saying just what you have in mind, okay? So the idea is that you have different kind of context, and in some context it's okay to assert with a certain degree of justification. In other contexts, it's not okay to assert with this degree of justification. Some people think also that there are discursive contexts where you should be able to, where you are in a position to assert that P only if you can give the reasons for why P or something like this, or to reason P. So I think the certainty norm of assertion is compatible with this insofar as it is context sensitive. Okay, so here for the first point. The second point to note, a point which is noted by Benton, is that the linguistic and conversational data are invariant. So it is in every context, it is odd to say P, but I don't know that P, for example. So or P, but I don't believe that P. Okay. So we have to explain. So if the norm of assertion is variable, and what explains the oddity of this sentence is the epistemic norm. So we should think that there are contexts in which it's okay to say these things. Okay, those contexts in which the norm, for example, is higher than belief or higher than knowledge. Okay, so this is a fact that we have to keep in mind, that this data are invariant. Third claim that I think is plausible, although it is debated, is that the meaning of no or belief is not context sensitive. So here this is just the rejection of contextualism, okay, that I think is plausible. So I will not give the reason to think that contextualism about knowledge is not plausible to me, but there are, you can read Stanley, for example, Knowledge and Practical Interest. And so I know that these things are debated, but I think that the standard position is that no is a invariant. Okay, so now if we take these three claims, we can show that only the certainty norm of assertion is actually compatible with them. So, for example, if belief is the norm of assertion, we can account partially for two, for some of the linguistic data, but not all. Okay. If we adopt the warrant account by Gerken, according to which the standard of assertion is variable, okay, we have difficulty. So we can accept one and three. But we have difficulty with the invariant characters of the linguistic data. So I don't want to say that Gherkin propose no explanation of this invariant character. I just say that it's kind of difficulty that is associated with his position. Okay, and so if certainty is the norm of assertion, we can adopt 1-3, so we have no problem with these three claims. Okay, so maybe after sometimes for two objections that we can raise. The first one, so that's the only two objections I've found in the literature, so if you have other objections, I would be happy to have them. The first one is comes from Pritchard, and so there are two aspects of this objection, but basically the idea is that there are cases of appropriate assertion without certainty, okay? Even granting all you grant the context sensitivity of certainty, you grant all that I've said, okay? There are cases in which it seems, according to Pritchard, appropriate for a subject to assert P, even if it's not certain that P. So I must say, I just don't share the intuition here, so maybe I'll just present the case. So the case he proposed is the following, the train. So Jenny steps off the train in an unfamiliar tone and asks the first person that she meets for direction. Suppose further that this person is indeed knowledgeable about the area and communicates this knowledge to Jenny, who promptly heads off to where she needs to go. So first note that it's not a case of assertion but of action. But I will put this aside. But that might make a difference. But anyway. So Pritchard intuitions about train is the following. Jenny knows the target proposition and she can appropriately assert it. That's Pritchard intuition. And the norm of certainty is not satisfied. Satisfied? Why? He says, because the level of evidential support is low and Jenny presumably has a low level of confidence in the target proposition. So what I want to say about this case is that it's very underdescribed. Okay, we don't really know the context, okay, in which Jenny would be willing to assert. So it's difficult to assess what is the problem with this case. I think that if we flesh out the context in more detail, we would see that either the proposition is uncertain for Jenny, even if she can know this, she's somewhat uncertain. But then I suggest we would have the intuition that it's not okay for her to flat out assert the proposition in question. Or we can say that sometimes knowledge is sufficient for certainty. So recall that being in a position to know is necessary for certainty, but there might be some context in which it is sufficient. Okay, so maybe in very low stakes cases, you can be certain. It is true that you are certain of what you know. So the certainty account of assertion is not committed to a very strong view about what is required for certainty. There might be cases where a very low degree of justification is sufficient. So this is my reply. So also Pritchard put forth a case where he says that we easily accept that many propositions we assert are actually uncertain for us without any change in the context. Okay, so this suggests, of course, that we were not certain from the start. So here is the case. My wife and I are heading out of the shopping arcade, and I stride purposively toward the part of the car park where I believe our car to be. Nothing in my behavior indicates any doubt on my part on this court, and indeed, I do know that my car is parked at the relevant location. Nevertheless, were my wife to ask me whether I was certain that it was parked there, whether there was any possibility that I could be wrong, I would be unlikely to say yes. Instead, I would say something like, well, that's where I seem to recall parking it, and I'm pretty good at remembering this sort of things, or something along those lines. So here it seems to me that this is plainly wrong. I don't think people would reply this kind of thing. If I ask you what you have eaten this morning, you would say, or what you have drunk, say coffee, and say, but are you certain? You say, yeah, of course I'm certain that I've drunk coffee. I remember that I've drunk coffee. And it's implausible to me that you will reply something like, yeah, maybe I might be wrong, you never know. So I think that intuitively, we take ourselves to be certain of many things. So here that may be just a clash of intuition, but I don't find this case very, very, very good actually. And so let me turn to the last objection. So an objection which can be found in theory in a paper by Turing. So he tried to show that the knowledge account is better than the certainty account because the way in which we prompt our assertions use no rather than certain. And this suggests actually that knowledge rather than certainty is the normal assertion. So I would just make three suggestions, but I think we might come to this after. So first, that sometimes we can use certain. So is it certain that P, or is someone certain that whether P, or so we might, in some cases, use the word to prompt assertions. Second, note that it's sufficient to use no to prompt assertions because, given the certainty account, a positive answer implies that the assertor is certain that P, or that, rather, the proposition is epistemically certain for him. So that's compatible with the certainty account. The certainty account can explain why it's always sufficient to use no. So I would say that's not a very good argument against the certainty account. And finally, the advocate of the knowledge norm should note that we often prompt assertions but using epistemic conditions weaker than knowledge, actually. So you might prompt an assertion by asking, is P the case? So is it raining? Okay. So if the way in which you prompt assertion were a good argument, then you might say, oh, that's an argument for the truth norm, actually. So the defender of the knowledge norm should say, no, that's okay. Sometimes we use weaker conditions to prompt assertion, like in the is P the case, or do you think that P is the case? So if you grant this to defend his own account, the knowledge account, it should also be granted to the advocate of the certainty account that no is weaker than certainty, so that's not surprising that we can use no to prompt assertions. So basically, that's given. So all these things. So I think that the certainty account, in summary, account for all the data, the linguistic data, in a better way than the knowledge account. It is compatible with three independently plausible claims, whereas the other norms are incompatible or have difficulties to deal with these three claims. And finally, the objections are not really decisive. So that's why I conclude that certainty is the epistemic norm of assertion.